Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So can solutions to the housing crisis be voluntary, or maybe we should call it somewhat coerced but not quite mandatory? For the most part, President Obama is still hoping that he can avoid actual requirements on lenders. The White House has released more details of its foreclosure relief plan. We mentioned during the news that 200,000 homes in New York may be covered by this, and we'll explain how you might qualify. We mentioned that it does take effect immediately, but really it's a foreclosure prevention plan for people not yet in repossession for the banks, with a combination of subsidies for refinancing that the banks can take or leave, and some regulatory pressure. If it works, the government will spend $75 billion to keep about 4 million people in their homes nationwide, again, an estimated 200,000 here in New York. Let's take a closer look with James Haggerty, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He wrote a very practical piece this morning explaining to homeowners how you might qualify for this help. Hi, James. Welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll open up the phones right away in case our listeners have questions about whether they might qualify for this or anything about the details. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And our comments page, always open at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. All right, we've been hearing in the news all yesterday, all this morning, about the basics. I want to go through some of the parts that might be confusing first. Like, only Fannie and Freddie loans are subsidized under this plan. Why is that?
That's for the refinance part of the plan. There are two parts. One part is to modify loans, which means you change the terms to make them more affordable. And that can apply to any mortgage loan so long as the unpaid balance is less than about $730,000. So that's for, in theory, almost everybody who has a real hardship. The other part is refinancing, and this is limited to the people who have a loan that is either owned or guaranteed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. But that's a lot of people. That's over half of the mortgages in the country. That is specifically aimed at people who have been having trouble refinancing and taking advantage of today's low interest rates because they have little or no equity in their home.
Explain some of the formulas and why they work the way they do. If your mortgage is worth more than your home, that helps you qualify. But if your mortgage is worth way more than your home, you're out. Am I getting this right?
Yes. This refinancing program is designed to help people who are caught in a zone between their loan being about 80% of the house value up to 105%. And so these are people who have either a little bit of equity or they're a little bit underwater. And until recently, until this plan came along, they've had a hard time refinancing because they would have to pay a hefty insurance payment, or it would just be too expensive to be worth it. This is supposed to make it much less expensive, so more of these people will be able to refinance and save money. But it doesn't help you if your loan is worth way more, or your loan balance is way more than the current value of your house.
And what are the rough numbers, and what's the philosophy behind that?
The maximum your loan can be is 105% of the estimated current value of the house. The philosophy, I guess, is that they had to draw a line somewhere, and this was where they decided to draw it. If you have a loan if you have a loan for $500,000 and the collateral, the house, is worth only $250,000, that might be just deemed too risky, and Fannie and Freddie might say, sorry, we'd rather have you try renting for a while, and we'll help you do that.
Yeah. Now, what's really intriguing to me about this aspect of it is the question, how will they set the value of anyone's home? That's been the third rail of the bank bailout, never mind foreclosure relief, setting a dollar value on the toxic assets, the bad mortgages that nobody has really known what the value of is, right?
Well, here you don't have to value the mortgage. You have to disvalue the home. And that, of course, is an inexact science itself, but it's possible to do it. They will, in most cases, simply use a computer program. If you've ever been to Zillow.com and looked at their estimate of how much your home is worth, that's pretty much the kind of thing that Fannie and Freddie will do. It's a computer program that looks at recent sales in your neighborhood of homes that seem to be kind of similar, and then it estimates what you could sell your home for. It's not perfect, but it gets you in the ballpark.
Right. So I was really confusing two things so that I don't confuse other people. Valuing the homes themselves and valuing the mortgage, mm-hmm. which is the toxic assets for of more relevance to the bank bailout.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Correct. All right. Let's take a phone call. Burl in Philadelphia. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I mean, a quick question regarding all this. You know, a lot of this legislation, a lot of the news has all been in relation to helping those people that got themselves in trouble or got in trouble, however they managed to do that with their home and their mortgages. But for people that have been saving money and are now at a point where they can afford to buy a house based on what the market's what's going on in the real estate market, is there any sort of incentive that, not just incentives, but any sort of things that are going to help the mortgage rates maybe come down a little or anything that's going to help those first-time buyers that are going to actually be jump-starting this economy, that's going to be an incentive for them to buy homes?
Good question, Burl. James Haggerty from the Wall Street Journal. Any incentive for first-time buyers here?
Not in this package, but Congress has recently passed a tax break that is supposed to help home buyers over the next year or so. As of bringing interest rates down, they already have come down a fair amount, and who knows where they go from here. They probably won't go down a lot lower, I don't think.
Now, what did Congress pass finally? I know there was a lot of debate on this, and Burl, stay there for a minute, and you could tell us if you think this would help you. It was a fairly generous tax credit, wasn't it, which is better than, than a tax deduction for people who would take out a new mortgage, a first-time mortgage, and have interest rate payments. Do you remember the number?
I don't have the details on that.
I think it was maybe up to $15,000 a year, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. It was part of the economic stimulus bill that passed last month.
Right, in the first year. Burl, go ahead.
I think it was actually $8,000. I think initially it was introduced as being $15,000, and then it got cut in half to about $8,000. So yeah, that's definitely something that's to factor in. But I was just curious to know if there's any, if there's anything else that's either, on the back burner that might, further help, first-time home buyers that are now able to afford the prices of the market, and help it, maybe turn around.
In the works. Now, Burl, let me ask you one other thing. Did I sense a whiff of moral superiority in your question? Like, well, we who might actually go buy a home are the people who might actually jumpstart the economy, while all these people who are underwater, little bit of that?
You did a little. I'll be honest with you. I am, my wife and I are looking to buy, to be first-time home buyers, and it is a little frustrating when you see what's going on, when you see what some people they acted irresponsibly, if you want to just leave it at that, and took out a lot more than what their homes were worth, and now everyone has to pay for it.
Thank you for your call, Burl. And this goes, James Haggerty, to that Rick Santelli rant on CNBC, and we're going to play just a little bit of it. As he was railing the other week against this particular Obama plan, the foreclosure relief plan, and listen to how he characterizes those homeowners who can't meet their mortgages.
How about this, President and new administration? Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages?
The losers' mortgages. And so Burl had a little bit of that, too. Do you want to talk at all about the politics of this plan?
Well, I think, that's obviously a common sentiment that why should we be bailing out all these people who screwed up or who were greedy or irresponsible? I guess the answer to that is there's a desire to try to put a floor under the fall of home prices, and it's hard to do that without helping anybody who was irresponsible, both the lenders and the borrowers. And responsible people may benefit from this if it can get the housing market to stabilize and the economy eventually to recover.
And there is a fairly high limit, if I'm reading this correctly, of how much of a mortgage would apply and you could still be eligible for foreclosure relief, and that is up to about $730. That's a lot of loan for most of the country, for anyone, for anywhere but here in Manhattan, and it's luxury housing even here. Why does help for homeowners under threat of foreclosure go up that high?
Well, I think because there are certain areas of California, of New York, a few other places in the country where a middle-class home could be in that range. And I think very few really wealthy people would ever qualify this for this because, at least if it works properly, you are supposed to show that you have a financial hardship. You do not have the assets available to pay off your loan. You do not have enough income to afford your loan. If you are paying less than 31% of your pre-tax income in your mortgage-related payments, then you don't qualify for these modifications.
Give us that stat again, because I think that's important. This is your mortgage payments relative to your income, right?
Right, 31% of your pre-tax income. And that includes your mortgage, your property tax, your insurance, and a few other related payments.
By the way, folks, coming up in a few minutes, we are going to talk about the barter system. Do you barter? What's the best trade you've ever made? We're collecting your best trades ever. Baseball cards not included. Well, I guess you can include baseball cards. Do you barter? What's the best trade you've ever made? Post your barter stories to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about the barter system in the new economy. But let's take another phone call. Alexis in Red Bank, I think, has an answer for Burl in Philadelphia about that mortgage tax deduction or tax credit. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, Brian. Right. Here in New Jersey, they're offering $15,000 to first-time homebuyers as a down payment, and you have 15 years within which to pay that back bundled into your mortgage payment. If you're single, you get $7,500. I just recently referred a buyer to a mortgage rep, and that's how he explained it to me, that this person, since he was married, would get $15,000 to use as a down payment. He could pay that back interest-free over the course of 15 years. It would be broken into very small payments into his mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great information. Okay. And I think that there's a limit on income there, right? You qualify for this unless you make over a certain amount.
There probably is, though. I don't know that number.
Right. Okay, Alexis, thank you very much for clarifying that. And Ron on the South Shore of Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Brian. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thanks for calling.
How long before the banks, this trickles down to the people that I actually speak to at the bank when they're calling me to find out where my mortgage payment is? I'm about 8 months behind, and I can't come up with the $15,000 they want to reinstate my mortgage. They're only willing to put a few payments at the end. How do I ask them about this program?
Can you help them out, James?
Well, one thing you can do is call up the loan servicer. There should be a number on your monthly mortgage bill that you can call. You might have to call more than once because the lines are likely to be jammed. You can also seek the help of a counselor, and you shouldn't pay for that counseling because it's available for free. There is the Hope for Homeowners line that you can call. Let me just see if I can dig out that number for you.
And while you're digging it out, we'll mention that this is in effect immediately. I mean, that's part of the whole point, is that the president and the Treasury Secretary, do we have that Tim Geithner clip? Maybe we can go back to that that we played earlier and emphasize, and the Treasury Secretary said it right from the Treasury Secretary's mouth, that this takes effect immediately.
This will help struggling borrowers begin to see lower payments, more affordable payments right away.
right away is the point. This takes effect immediately.
That's a bit of an exaggeration. I mean, you can start right away, and you should start right away. But in practice, it's probably going to take a few weeks to get any action. This, the HOPE hotline, which can put you in touch with a free counselor, is 888-995-4673.
Say it again.
888-995-4673.
So, Ron, good luck with that. And anyone else who wants to get into that right now and get that counseling advice, there's that free number. And we'll give that one more time before we finish up with James Haggerty from The Wall Street Journal. What about second homes, vacation homes, second mortgages on your first home? Any of those eligible?
Well, for the loan modification plan, those are not eligible. It can only be your primary residence. If you have a second mortgage, that doesn't mean you can't be helped, although it might make it a bit more complicated. For the refinancing plan through Fannie and Freddie, that can be a second home, and it can be an investment property.
Can be an investment property. So they're going to give mortgage relief to people who made investments on investment properties?
In some cases.
Why? What's the rationale?
I guess the rationale would be we kind of need investors right now to go out and buy houses, and not all investors necessarily were irresponsible. Some may have borrowed at a reasonably cautious basis, but have been caught up in this situation where it's much harder to refinance loans today because of the panic in the credit markets.
And the second loans on your home, on the same home, I mean, those are sometimes called piggy bank loans because they were basically taken out so that you get some cash flow, right?
In some cases, people took out second loans and just used the cash. In other cases, they had two loans. We call it a piggyback, where they were avoiding making any down payment. And that, of course, is impossible today. But a lot of people still have those second mortgages. In some cases, that problem can be resolved through a restructuring of your loan, but it makes it a little bit more complicated.
Piggyback loans and piggy bank loans. So is this it for Obama anti-foreclosure measures, or is it one piece of a pie and we're going to hear more?
I suspect we'll hear more eventually. For one thing, this is not going to work perfectly, and they're going to need to tweak it. For another thing, if the crisis keeps getting worse, they might have to become even bolder and try something that will go further. This seems to be a major step forward. It's a start. We'll see whether it works.
All right. Give that phone number again for people who want to get that mortgage relief credit counseling.
That is 888-995-4673.
995-4673 and the toll-free 888 area code. James Haggerty from The Wall Street Journal, thanks for starting us off this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. The barter system, and post your best trades ever to WNYC.org. There's this famous story now, kind of famous, making the rounds online, about a guy who started with a paper clip and gradually traded his way all the way up to a house. What's the best barter? What's the best trade you ever made? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, post your story, and we'll talk about the barter system in the new economy coming up in a minute.